Support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, good morning. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. And to take a look at what's been happening in the agricultural markets and update you on what happened in Washington, D.C. yesterday, of course, you probably are already aware that a budget agreement had been voted on by the House. That must be passed through the Senate before it heads to the president's desk. The budget agreement did include a $3 billion cut to the crop insurance programs over a 10-year period. However, the chairman of the House and Senate Ag Committees had gotten together and talked to the leadership just a bit about some of those programs, and Texas Representative Conaway assures most in the agricultural world that the omnibus bill will exclude the crop insurance cut for the fiscal year 16 and further out. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll keep a close eye on what's happening with the budget and crop insurance and keep you up to date here at WILL and willag.org. Now let's turn our attention to the marketplace at this hour. Grains futures are higher, in the least the corn. December contract is up a penny. It's trading at $3.77. The May at $3.92 3/4 is a half higher, and December of next year at $4.03 3/4 is up a penny and 3/4. November beans are down 6 1/4 at $8.75 1/4. The January at $8.77 1/2, down 5 1/4. In July, down 4 3/4 at $8.92 1/2. Bean meal down $1.60. The bean oil, 2 cents lower. Wheat futures are up 7 3/4 in the December at $5.13 3/4 for the soft red. July at $5.24 3/4 are up 6. The Kansas City hard red December up 5 3/4 at $4.91 1/4. July at $5.21 is unchanged. Feeder cattle futures are a nickel higher in the October at $193.55. November down 75 at $191.50 for 100 pounds. And live cattle in the October 30 higher at $139.97 1/2. December at $143.70, up a dime for the day. Lean hogs, December contract 92.5 cents lower at $60.47 1/2. Now on the phone line with us is Elaine Cubb. She's from Mastering the Grain Markets in Elkhorn, Nebraska. She's filling in today for Dan Zwicker, who is away. However, we're interested in having Elaine on, mostly because she's been on a tractor out in the field in South Dakota, where she and her family farm. I think you just finished up, Elaine. Thanks for being with us, and really thanks for taking the time today. I bet you're done. Glad to be done with harvest.
I'm delighted to be done with harvest, yes. I mean, the weather here at the end was not ideal, and I don't think that there was any major rush, but it is good. It is good to be back out of the tractor and in front of an actual computer screen for once again.
And tell me about the harvest in your area and how things went on the farm.
You know, surprisingly, I think eastern South Dakota here is actually a pretty good match for the general Corn Belt this year, in that there were a few fields or a few spots where it really benefited from the rain this summer, and you had some really great field-level record yield highs, you know, some really surprisingly great yields. But overall, this is not a record crop, and that's true for the United States, that there are spots where it was great, but overall there were the spots more spots that were challenged by the bad spring planting and the non-ideal weather throughout the summer. And so we don't have a record crop. I mean, it's just sort of, you know, some have, some have not. But a lot of really good harvest reports that are probably weighing on the market to some extent, and may certainly weigh on the USDA's numbers when they come out next month.
Yeah. So one of the things you've been watching as we had our quick discussion before we went on the air was the outside markets and the U.S. dollar and crude oil futures. Crude oil futures have been rallying. Can you tell me about the impact it has in Chicago and the grains?
You know, I don't know that it is, that it really has any knock-on effect on the ag markets today anyway, because the crude oil jump yesterday in particular was due to a very specific crude oil argument, but the gasoline stocks fell by 1.1 million barrels in the EIA report, and the diesel and heating oil inventories also dropped. So crude oil was able to make a big jump there from some fundamental data. But prior, leading up to that, crude oil had been falling 15% in the past 3 weeks because of this very stronger dollar that we saw last week. and continuing into this week. So grains, meanwhile, don't have that bullish fundamental inventory story, and they are still being weighed on, I think, by this much stronger dollar.
What's the basis levels like in your area? How weak are they?
Oh, they're very normal. So they're not going to sound good to listeners in Illinois to have, you know, soybean basis at 70 under or corn basis at 45 or 50 under. That's not going to impress anybody, but that's normal. And I believe that out here in the Western Corn Belt, particularly the Northwestern Corn Belt, we are very happy to have those basis levels because they're not a dollar under the way they were last year or in 2013 because of the rail challenges. The rail challenges have gone away in 2015 for the most part, so we're content.
Why do you think they're there? And I'm wondering, because we talk a lot about the basis here in the Eastern Corn Belt, especially as along the Illinois-Indiana border and then going on to the east into Ohio, where they're in some deficit areas. We understand basis levels being very strong there. But your basis levels, you're far enough out that it's not likely you're impacted that much by what's happening on the ground in Indiana and Ohio. Why are your basis levels at normal levels when you have maybe, I guess maybe you're just telling me you had an okay crop.
Yeah, it's not a record-breaking crop, and there have been throughout the past several years lots of preparations made with bunkers and the ability to store this grain as long as it takes. The railroad have put on more locos and more hoppers. So there's not the sudden crush. We didn't have, a real challenging gut spot of harvest this year, I think just because of the years of large crops, we've had better preparation.
Well, there are differing variations of this. Most of our analysts have been sell the rallies for both corn and soybeans, reward them. What's your thought?
Yes, I agree with that general sentiment. I believe we are due for a rally. Once the harvest gets done seasonally, you'll see that. And I think if the dollar wasn't higher, we would be seeing it right now. And I think we would also expect to see it continue a little bit higher into the spring as a longer-term trend. However, I would caution to be very conservative with your optimism this year because you've got the headwinds from the dollar. These are abundant crops. Unless we have some sort of continued dryness in South America and a rally from that sort of fundamental argument, I would not get my hopes too high. So if you see 40 cents in corn would be a wonderful place to start. 40 more cents, a rally of that size would be a wonderful place to start selling corn, I think.
So when futures get to 410 lead option?
When they get up to 430 is where I would put my sell target.
Okay. How about for soybeans?
Soybeans, I'm looking to see them go up to 950, hopefully, but that would, require another 70-cent move here. But I think we could certainly see it, particularly with this dryness that is building in South America. I think that they could certainly see, a fundamental story come in here and motivate them higher. In addition to the bullishness that they continue to have domestically, we saw a marketing year high in the export shipment progress in today's report, 2.8 million metric tons, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that's very positive. It continues to be a positive story for soybeans.
Elaine, thanks so much. Any final word before I let you go for the day?
No, let's hope that this down movement in hogs is not part of a longer-term problem based on the government's reports, but I think at this point, we just wait and see.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks.
That's Elaine Cubb. She is with Mastering the Grain Markets out of Elkhorn, Nebraska, joins us here on the Mid-Morning Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. You can listen to her again if you'd like very shortly. She'll be up there within about a half hour or so. By the way, while you're there, you can pick up your tickets to our all-day, or not to the all-day, but the Farm Assets Conference. That's in November, the 24th day, and should be a great program. We have a whole series of our regular analyst on. We'll also be talking about big data. We'll talk about nutrient loss, and we'll take up the future of farmland price. It's all just a $30 bill away. You can get your tickets right now online at farmassetsconference.com or dial 800-898-1095. That's 800-898. And you finish that 800 number, of course, with 1065. That's 800-898-1065. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.5, HD3 Urbanum. Partly sunny skies today, a high of 50 degrees. It'll be breezy, west winds at 16 to 22 tonight, cloudy, a low of 35, and tomorrow sunny, a high of 58. Friday night, a 40% chance of showers. That'll come after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy and a low of 45. And Saturday, occasional showers, a high of 56. Southeast winds at 10 to 17 miles an hour. Saturday night, a 50% chance of rain before 1 a.m. And Sunday, sunny skies and 64 degrees. More ag at the top of the hour.